Guess what I found at the market last weekend? Strapple. Yep, grown here in Barbados. I did a double take as I passed the stall and almost whispered in question, doubting my eyes. Are those the strapples? When the vendor nodded, I followed up with, were they grown locally here in Barbados or are they from Guyana? She laughed at the surprised look on my face and told me that they were grown here in Barbados. She was selling them for a friend who has a tree. I didn't even ask the price. I happily bought 4, paying Barbados $8 for them. That would be $4. I had not eaten strapple since I left Guyana in 1998, so this was quite a treat for me. It is funny how you react to things from home that you have not seen or experienced in a long time. Back in Guyana, strapple was not a seasonal fruit I look forward to having. If I happened to see them, I'd buy it, but I wouldn't go in search of it as I would say mangoes, kuru, pineapples, sapodilla, or guavas. What I remembered of the fruit was its beautiful color, how sweet it tasted, and that star design when cut crossways, and the sticky latex that stained and had your lips pasting together. I ate 2 when I got home, and the other 2 I had the following day. Did you know that it is also known as a milk fruit and a star plum? And they can be found in other parts of the region like Jamaica and Cuba. It's popular in the Philippines, Vietnam, Malaysia, India, China, and many other places that have a tropical or subtropical environment. It's a fruit that is rich in vitamin C and antioxidants, and also contains a good amount of fiber and aids in digestion. I like when you enjoy eating or drinking something just because you like it, it tastes good, and is also good for you. It's currently in season in Guyana, so be sure to get yourself some strapples. Delicious leftovers. A friend brought me a packet of fresh frozen mangameri from a recent trip to Guyana. Happiness! I did not want anything to eat with the fish. I simply wanted it seasoned, fried, and piled on a plate to eat. Oh, with loud pepper sauce. I ate to my heart's content and put the remainder in the refrigerator. A couple of days later, I considered eating the fried fish cold straight from the fridge, but then had a thought. Make some fish choker. While the fish reheated in the toaster oven, I thinly sliced onions and took a heaped tablespoon of pickled bird peppers from a jar I had set a few weeks ago. I mashed the peppers with the back of the spoon, deboned and flaked the fish, squirted some fresh lime juice, and mixed it all together. I didn't need to add salt because the fish was already seasoned. When I was done making the choker, I thought a hot sada roti would be righteous with this. Alas, there was no such thing. No worries. I took my bowl of choker and a few crisp lettuce leaves, made wraps, and thoroughly enjoyed it. I love our food. It's par excellence. Kala Chana. If, like me, you're into legumes and like using all kinds and varieties, then I encourage you to give Kala Chana, also known as black chickpeas, a try. It is mostly found in Asian or Indian grocery stores or in supermarkets that have an international food aisle. Years ago, whilst on a trip to Guyana, I bought from Matai's. That's before they had moved over to their now larger establishment. It is smaller in size compared to the yellow-white variety of chickpeas, which we also call garbanzo, with which most people are familiar. And obviously, the color too. Kala Chana has a deep brown color that is even more pronounced when cooked, hence being referred to as black chickpeas. It is cooked the same way or can be cooked the same way as we use regular chana or garbanzo. However, when it comes to texture and nutrition, they vary. Kala Chana is firmer in texture when cooked and does not taste as creamy as the garbanzo. It can stand up to long cooking without breaking down because of its coating or the skin. Kala chana is higher in fiber, iron, and antioxidants than garbanzo. Both varieties are good for people managing their blood sugar levels, registering low on the glycemic index. Kala chana takes a little longer to cook than garbanzo. While you can add it directly to the pressure cooker, I highly recommend an overnight or at least a 6-hour soak before using. If you've ever picked up a packet of chana dal and used it to make dal, then you have eaten kala chana. Chana dal is kala chana with the skin removed. Skinless, it cooks up thick and creamier than split peas. However, with the skin removed, the fiber, iron, and antioxidant levels are dropped some. This past week, I cooked kala chana two ways, as a boil and fry with some chopped ham, and I made a dal. I added pumpkin to the dal for some creaminess. I also used a dal chutney to further break up the chana after it had been pressured soft. Well, that's it for me this week, folks. A little of this and a bit of that.